But anyway, we started a group, an outreach to the Mormons, and everything we did just didn't attract Mormons at all. Like I say, we had quite a few non-Mormons interested, but we just couldn't get the Mormons interested. And then Bob got a revelation on me. And he says he liked the stuff that I wrote. And we explained to him a number of times that even though he's a prophet, maybe he gets some inspiration, Curtis and I don't accept any prophet as an authority figure, you know. He says, whatever you get, it's we'll look at it piece by piece, you know. But he got a revelation on me, and it says, I got this revelation from God that you're supposed to write an article on marriage, or a treatise on marriage. And he believed in plural marriage and everything. And he expected me to write a treatise explaining plural marriage in a way that people would accept it. And so I prayed about it, and I got confirmation, yes, you are supposed to write a treatise on marriage. I thought, okay, I'll write it. And I was sitting there, and nothing seemed to come. And so I was reading several scriptures kind of related, and I come across this scripture, and it's by Paul in Ephesians, which is a very controversial scripture. It says, women, be subject to your man as your man is subject to Christ. And then I read, I thought, boy, that's a controversial one, you know. Women don't like this scripture at all because they don't want to be subject. A lot of women, especially the women's movement was just starting and everything. And then he was talking about women being subject to men and the men being subject to Christ. And then a few verses down it says, and herein lies the great mystery. And I read that, and I thought, what is the mystery? I never noticed this part of the scripture before, a mystery. What is the mystery? I can't see any mystery behind this. This is, women are supposed to be subject to men. Men are subject to Christ. What is the mystery? And I was, as I was contemplating, then all of a sudden, I was just zapped. And the whole picture and vision of the molecular order entered into my mind, and I saw how everything worked. And I thought, wow, this is a mystery. This is what Paul was talking about. This is the mystery of everything is linked up. The woman is linked to the man is linked to the Christ, but the woman just follows the man if he is following the Christ. If he can't follow the Christ, then she's not commanded to be subject to him. And I saw how everything worked just in an instant. It was like a download came to me. And so I wrote up just a first draft of it. Came out just really easy because I could see how it all worked. And Bob made another trip down from Canada just to read that. And I give it to him, and as he was reading it, he kept reading it and go, no, no, no. No, this is not it. No, no. Turns him, no, 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 no. Yeah, then this next revelation was that I had fallen from grace because of pride. And so that, because we were kind of all working together and we blended our funds and everything and our mailing list, and his daughter was keeping our mailing list. They absconded with that, accused me and Curtis of falling away from the truth by every revelation he could come up with. The group just completely fell apart. You know. And but anyway.
That was back in the late 70s.
What?
Late 70s is when that
happened? Yeah, it was about 79, 80. We was excommunicated in 78, and that was just shortly after that, yeah. And so, right after that, we did begin to establish the molecule. I won't go into the details, but I received powerful confirmation about how everything works, including the overshadowing and the linkage and how everything works. So I know it's possible. I've been working on it ever since to try to put a molecule together. And, yeah.
In looking at the molecule, both instances around the time of Jesus, it looked like the initial combining of the apostles with the master at that time. They were brought together because I think of the joy of the association with Jesus.
Yeah.
But the second molecule, this one was okay, but it wasn't of great strength. This one after Jesus really occurred in the strength which occurred was as
after he was crucified.
After he was crucified was because of a point of tension.
Yeah.
And that point of tension caused the greater strength of the molecule. So I see that there's maybe two options of which the molecule is based on that example. It can either combine as joy, but the greater one will be because as a result of a point of tension.
Right. And in this greater one, they probably had more faith.
And had greater power.
Yeah. So to make a molecule work, we need union. I mean, we need union and focus on the spirit. The spirit or the soul energies. It begins with male and female unit, but then when you try to get complete union out of more than two or three people, it becomes very difficult. Matter of fact, somebody a while back in our Keys group online, somebody says, well, why can't we do it just from a distance? I says, even from a distance, I say you can't really work out the union. For instance, I'll give you an example. And I threw out a kind of a political question. And I said, let's see if we can reach union on this simple question. I can't even remember what it was. We had arguments over that for like a couple months. No union was reached. It was an amazing conversation. And the people involved were really good people. But we just couldn't see eye to eye. Yeah, Susan.
You know, this has always been my favorite part of your teachings. And being the third-grade personality that I am, it's like, let's do it. And so when we bought the campground in Manti, we had four couples. And we were going to do the molecular relationship. All four couples divorced. Then when we got the 90 acres, I was, okay, we can do this again. And there was probably 12 of us to begin with. And all divorced, died, or went to jail.
Wow. Died or went to jail, what a fate.
So, you know, my caution is, if you want to start a molecular relationship, it will bring out the worst of everyone. It really does.
Right. I've made two attempts, and both times it ended in an explosion.
Yes.
Physical explosion?
Explosion of force.
Yes. Yes.
And so this time I figured I'm going to do it right. The scripture says, he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, I'm going to take as long as it takes to get people with soul contact gathered so it can be done right. And people that are proven. Because you gather, say you have a seminar on it, and you gather, well, let's start with this 12. Well, it won't be very long before half of them will be stabbing each other in the back. Okay, so you need people that are tried and proven and tested, and that they can have soul contact. Now, like I say, we should have been able to resolve that problem online by everyone contacting their soul. Because souls in the world of soul, after you die and you're reunited with your soul, you will see eye to eye with other souls. And that's what we need to do here on earth. We need to focus on our soul, our higher part of ourself, and then if all of us did that in this group, we wouldn't have any disagreement over anything.
So how do you know
because we would see the principle behind everything. We may like different colors, simple things like that, but when it comes down to fundamental things, that steps to be taken, we will see the principle behind things. Because the language of the soul is the language of what?
Love.
Principles.
Language of the soul is the language of principles. And a principle is worth 1,000 facts. It takes 1,000 facts maybe to make a person understand one principle. But once a principle is understood, then you can just see it, see how it works. Yeah.